Morning, and a very warm welcome to our morning worship service here in St. Machan's. A special welcome is extended to any friends or family, visitors, with us this morning, and we are especially delighted to welcome our brothers and sisters in Christ from Chalmers. Welcome this morning to St. Machan's. We hope everyone will feel at home and welcome in our church family, and that you find our worship to be both meaningful and uplifting. It's a pleasure to welcome the band this morning, and they will lead us in our musical worship. Tea and coffee will be served in the hall after the service, and everyone is invited to go through and share in a short time of fellowship there. Would treasurers of all organisations remember that today is the last day for submitting your audited annual accounts to Bob? And note about the men's club, contrary to the intimation on the order of service, due to illness, there will be no speaker tomorrow, that's Monday the 27th, and instead the indoor bowls will take place at the usual time of 1:30, that's tomorrow. And a reminder that on Thursday the Kirk session will meet in the session house at 7 o'clock. Also coming up on Thursday the 6th of February is our annual electrical PAT testing, and would everyone please note that all items should be left in the hall for 8 a.m, so probably the night before, on Thursday the 6th of February. Any items that anyone has at home, please ensure that they are brought into the church or into the office for the evening before. And following this morning's worship, would elders please note there will be a very short ad hoc meeting, and just at the front of the church here. And finally, apologies to everyone for the heating again this morning. We've had a slight technical hitch. We've had one or two recently. We thought it'd been resolved, but the heating is acting up a wee bit this morning, so apologies for it being a bit, or definitely more than a bit colder than it should be. Pull your jackets, tie your scarves, and you'll be fine. These are all the intimations. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Just to add a couple of intimations to this. First of all, I have a lovely thank you card here at the front. I'll get the right glasses on. Oops, I did it. Oh. It must be the cold. It's frozen to my glasses. Just to say thank you. Kindness like yours means more than you know. And it's a special message just to bring lots of thanks for everything. And it's, dear friends, your prayers, cards and visits meant so much to me when I was in hospital. It was lovely to know that your thoughts were with me. I appreciate it so much. I'm keeping a good bit better. I'm so glad to get back to church. And that's love from Jeanette Smith, who's with us this morning. So delighted to have you with us, Jeanette, and to see you looking so well and back among us. So thank you for that beautiful card. I'll leave that there. And one more card. Oh. One more card. A beautiful, happy birthday card at the front. And I think the person who this is for already has announced there that they know who it's for. It's to a fantastic son. Happy birthday. Enjoy your special, special day. Birthday wishes filled with love are being sent to you. Hope the year that follows is very happy too. And now your special day is here. It gives the chance to say your thoughts so much of today and every day just for you. And that's to Tom Alston. And that's love you millions from your mum. And we add the love of all the congregation and your church family to that as well, Tom. Wonderful. I always know that Tom's birthday is coming because he starts telling me about it in June. So I always know his birthday is coming. So it's obviously a big day for you, Tom. I think it's tomorrow, is it? Tomorrow. So hope we have a fantastic, wonderful, wonderful day. A very happy birthday to you tomorrow, Tom. And let's all sing happy birthday to Tom. Every blessing, Tom, for your special, special day. Hope you enjoy every single moment of it. Well, all this cheers, I hope, has heated you up a bit. and got you ready to worship and to praise the Lord. Because as we gather here, we are given the encouragement to know that we gather with the hosts of heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, the Apostle John in his vision of heaven says, I looked up and behold, I saw an open door in heaven. And a voice said to me, come up here and I will show you what must happen after this. And part of that initial vision in Revelation 4 is a picture of the hosts of heaven. And it says, day and night they never stop singing. So let's gather with them, maybe here on earth, but with them at the throne room of heaven itself. Let us join our worship with their worship. And let us raise up the name of Jesus as we sing together our opening praise before the throne of God above. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning, Mr. McKellar.
And it's wonderful to see you here in church with us this morning, to join in with our worship and with our praise and with all the wonderful things we try to do to learn all about Jesus. Now, there wasn't too many of you here last week, and I'm not looking for excuse letters or anything like that. Obviously, there was a lot of important things on. So you missed a lot of cartoon characters on the screen last week. And I was asking about the kinds of things that they say. I missed one of the most important cartoon characters out ever. One of my all-time favourites. Can you guess who it is? No, he was there. He was there last week. Made a personal experience. I didn't have SpongeBob spare pants, no. The Minions. Now, I'm expecting a big response to this. Hands up, every fan of the Minions in St. Machan's Parish Church today. Oh, I'm deeply, deeply disappointed, hands down. But the children have not let the side down. Wonderful. And I brought my own Minion with me, haven't I? You've met Kevin before. This is Kevin. Now, please picture on the screen, just so the whole congregation can get the full effect of just how wonderful and handsome and amazing looking Kevin is. And he's joined us today to share a little bit with us about Jesus and about something very important. Now, I love the Minions for lots and lots of reasons. But what I'm going to do now is show you a very short clip. Sorry, I've got no sound for it, no sound plug at the front, but I've got no sound for it. I think the actions speak for themselves without any words. You can guess the kinds of things that are being said and spoken and the noises. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting comfortably? This is my all-time favourite clip from the Minions movies and cartoons. Let's see. Just a short few seconds. Don't you just have to love them? There's something wonderful about the Minions. I almost was going to ask you to do the sound effects. What do you think the sound effect might have been for, I think it was Bob that was at the front of the queue of the Minions. I know a lot of their names. Is that not sad? There's Kevin and there's Bob. There's also this other, there's Dave. There's a few others as well. And Stuart. You probably know some of the others, not to worry. What do you think the sound effect was? The sound effect. I'm making a kissing noise. Making a kissing noise. Can you all do that? Oh, why not? I'll heat you up this morning. Right. 3, 2, 1. Well done. And I noticed that the vast majority of you all face me. Thank you. There were one or two out of them as you turned to the people to the side of you. But the vast majority of you face me. That makes me feel really, really good. That's what I was looking for this morning. Something to encourage me. Something to build me up. Well, I think that little video clip and that action, what they did, that tells me something about the Minions, that they are really, really all about looking for something very important. Very important. Now, we're going to look for it as well with Kevin's help. In fact, this is going to be a world first, I think. We've had Kevin in the church before. And if I can get to work. Was it Duracell I put in them? I don't know. Oh, he started making a noise. Great. And I brought his remote control, right? Now, I'm going to drive him before we get any any arguments about who's going to drive him. Oh. Right. Now, what we're going to do, heading round the church, virtually in the four corners, are four important things. Very thin. Lying there, I think Alistair spotted one of them. And what we're going to do, anybody want to join me? We're going to have a Minion parade. We're going to march like Minions round the whole church to encircle virtually the whole congregation as we find these four things and bring them to the front. Are we ready for this? This must be a first. A Minion the whole way around St. Machan's Church. Oh, wait a minute. You've got to follow the Minion. Got to follow Kevin. He's one of the leading Minions. Are we ready? Let's see if we can find the first thing.
It's right there.
Right, found the first one. Right, back we go. Oh, this is where my very poor drive. Oh, where,
I'll hold on to these. Oh,
right. Oh, just talk among yourselves. I've been practicing this for days.
Do you want me to have a try?
No, it's all right. I'll get there. Right. Right, everybody up the aisle this time. Right.
This way.
Oh. Right, oh.
This way.
I tell you what, why don't you go ahead and see if you can find the three other things, right? While I set a test. Ah. You try the old test, right? I think what I'll do is I'll just come up again. We will just pretend that Kevin made it the whole way around the church. If anyone asks in the co-op during the week what you were doing, just tell them that Kevin made it the whole way round the church. Shh, we'll put it up the front. We'll lift all the letters up. I think it's kind of obvious what the answer is. Yep. So if we lift them all up, if we've got four people holding them up, we've got four volunteers. We want the whole congregation to see. There was four letters, an E, an O, an L, and a V. And there's only... Oh, after all that hard work. Oh. Bless you. L-O-V-E. L-O-V-E. And what does that spell?
Love.
The answer was obvious, wasn't it? I think we knew the answer before we even went to look, even with Kevin's not so helpful attempts to try and help us round the church. We knew the answer. I think what the minions are really looking for in those wonderful cartoons is love. To be appreciated, to love others, and to be loved. Wonderful. That's what God calls all of us to do. To know His love for us and to share that love with others. It couldn't be simpler. That's what brings joy. That's what brings peace. That's what brings all the good things in life into our lives is when we love. When we love others and when we know that others love us. And especially when we love God and know that God loves us and we love Him too. So that was short and sweet today for Kevin's little visit to the Church of the Minions. I didn't bring them last week because last week was about what they say. Does anyone know there's only one word that's decipherable, really, in all the minions say in their cartoons? Does anyone know what that one word is?
Banana.
Wonderful. I knew you wouldn't let me down. Banana. So thank you very much. You can put the love down now. And there was a Spanish bit at one time. Yeah, I remember that bit. Right, wonderful love. That's what they're searching for. That's what we should search for and look for. And that's what we can expect in life when we look for Jesus in our lives. So thank you for joining us today. If you're really good and ask me really nicely, I might just bring Kevin through the hall afterwards. So if you're going through for a cup of tea or coffee, are you well insured? Just be careful. Just watch out for Kevin and his nonsense through next door. We'll keep him up the back somewhere. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's sing of all these wonderful things that God gives to us, including the love that He pours into our lives through Jesus. We're going to sing a wonderfully wonderful tune that we all know so well. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. And at least my hands are now hot, if nothing else. A good excuse for clapping away in church to such a lovely, rousing piece of music. Well, I trust that faith, hope, and love will keep you in fire, will keep you warmed up by God's Spirit as you go through the rest of Sunday Fun Club and the rest of this week until we meet you again next Sunday. So thanks for joining us today. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon. Bye. That's how they're all saying goodbye to Kevin. Not saying bye-bye to me. Bye-bye. Thank you. Don't blame them. We join with the hosts of heaven. We go inside the veil. We come in prayer into that holy place, that place of such holiness, in the presence of the Holy One, in the presence of Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God and intercedes on our behalf. This is what Scripture tells us. This is what God promises us. So let's take hold of what the Scripture says. Let's take hold of what God promises. Let's join our hearts together in prayer, and let us all pray. Almighty God, you are worthy of all praise and all honor, for your name is higher than any other. You're worthy of all praise and honor, for your actions are greater than any other. You are worthy of all praise and all honor, for your love is beyond anything else, greater than any other. So we worship you, we praise you, we come into your presence and thank you for this glorious privilege of coming into that holy place. It's a holy place, Lord. So we bow our heads before you. So we bow our hearts and our spirits before you. For we recognize the very second we open our voices and our hearts in prayer that we are in a place where we are not worthy to be. We are in a place where under our own efforts we could not possibly imagine or reach. But because of Jesus and his love for us, we find ourselves here. So, Lord, we confess before you our unworthiness. We confess before you the thoughts of our minds, the words of our mouths, the actions of our bodies, all that we have done in previous days and weeks that we know is not worthy of your love, is not worthy of this privilege of prayer. We confess it before you freely and openly. For to whom else can we come? For you have the words of eternal life. You have the power to break the chains that bind us and set us free. You have the gift of the Spirit to give us, to make us afresh and anew, to mold us and to shape us ever more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, your Son. So for this, we say thank you. So few words, so limited, so weak by comparison, but we say them from our hearts. We say thank you, Almighty God, for all that you have done, for all that you have given us, and for all that you have promised us will still to come in that glory in your presence and the peace that lasts forevermore. Almighty God, in our worship today, may heaven touch earth as with our hearts we seek to touch heaven and know you close by and know you even within our very hearts and souls. Almighty God, lift up our worship today and lift up each worshiper with your Spirit by your promise and for the building of your kingdom. For we ask all of this and seek all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray together to say, let's now hear God's holy and everlasting word for this holy day.
Hi, Karen.
The reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to 6. I urge you then, I who am a prisoner because I serve the Lord, live a life that measures up to the standard God set when he called you. Be always humble and gentle and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of the peace that binds you together. There is one body and one Spirit, just as there is one hope to which God has called you. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one God and Father of all people, who is Lord of all, works through all, and is in all. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial, then it will be complete, as complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word, and to his name be all glory and praise. Amen.
Let's again lift our voice to God. Let's praise him with the words of our next praise. What grace is mine, that he who dwells in endless light. New words for all of us, I'm sure, but I think the tune should be fairly familiar.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I was reminded very recently of a true story that happened in a hospital. It concerned a student nurse who had been sent to one of the rooms in the ward to assist a patient being discharged from the hospital. She entered the room to find an elderly man sitting on the bed with a suitcase at his feet. The student nurse explained that the hospital policy was that anyone leaving the hospital had to do so in a wheelchair, whether they wanted to or not. The elderly man protested, but after a lecture about rules are rules, he gave in, sat in the wheelchair, and the student nurse wheeled him along the corridor to the lift, and they went down towards the exit, the entrance of the hospital. And while in the lift, the student nurse turned to the elderly gentleman and said, "Is your wife waiting for you?" And he replied, "I don't know. She's still up in the bathroom changing out of her hospital gown." It sounds, doesn't it? I'll put the right glasses on actually to make sure I read these things right. It sounds like, oh dear, it's done it again. I'm not throwing in the towel, it's all right, not quite yet. It sounds like an easy mistake, perhaps for a student nurse, to make. I was reminded of this just during this past week. As many of you know, unfortunately, my wife ended up having an unexpected visit to the hospital by ambulance late at midnight last Thursday night. I went for a few days. She got out, she got home, and she's well on the mend. It's been a very difficult week. Now, I could visit a number of church members in hospital, and every time I seemed to emerge unscathed and healthy. I visit my wife in hospital, and what happens? I catch a bug. In fact, it could be said that over this last week, you would have been very hard-pressed at times to tell which one of us had been the hospital patient. Very difficult to tell at times. Now, here's a question for you. Is this a physical thing, or is it a spiritual thing? Is it a case of me can't see green cheese? She was ill and I just had to be ill too. Or is it a case of a deep spiritual empathy and connection? You know, a bit like what Paul wrote in the previous chapter to chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's wonderful picture of the church of all Christians as being the body of Christ. Many parts, but one body, linked together in an unbreakable fashion. 1 Corinthians 12:26, such a close connection that if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So I suffered alongside my wife. I'll leave you to decide whether my ailment was green cheese or a very commendable demonstration of spiritual unity and solidarity with my wife within the body of Christ. I think I know what answer you're going to come to, but I'll not preempt that. 1 Corinthians 13. We've been learning all about love. That vital, life-giving, life-enhancing, life-motivating quality which makes the body of Christ come alive, be alive, and active. It's the very heart of the body. It's what makes us who we are as the church, as Christians. And it's described so wonderfully, this quality of love, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that we are given an image of love as a four-chambered heart, just like the four-chambered heart that we have physically. Left and right ventricles, left and right atriums. We have four chambers in 1 Corinthians 13, which we've been looking at. Four chambers, of a spiritual, beating, life-giving heart. 1 Corinthians 13, the vital heartbeat of every church and every Christian. And over many months now, we've been looking at all the qualities, all the workings of our spiritual hearts, all about the nature of love, all summed up in perhaps that one single, wonderful, unique, biblical word, agape, the Greek word agape for love. Not found in classical Greek. It had to be brought about and inspired among Christians, among God's people, for it to be brought into being. And it's unique in classical use to the Bible and the church. A wonderful word that speaks of the love which God has for us and the love he has given to each and every one of us to share with one another and all people everywhere. Today, we're in the closing stretch. Today, we've reached 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13a. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Now, that's a good news translation of it. The New King James follows the original Greek words the way they appear in the order they appear, and it says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three." It's a very powerful statement of spiritual unity and solidarity within the body of Christ. First of all, Paul does this in a very obvious way. And then secondly, he does it in a very subtle way. Firstly, obviously, Paul links the Greek words faith, hope, and love together. He puts them, as he wrote them in Greek, without anything in between. Nothing to separate them. No hidden conjunctions, no hidden little Greek words or letters or things that might have been put in between them and give some kind of impression to his readers of some sort of division. You know, so often in the Greek language, they have extra words that we don't have. And in the New Testament, the Greek version, there are lots and lots of places where words appear that do not appear anywhere in the English translations. They're there to link together, to make it flow in the original Greek. But not this time. Paul simply says, faith, hope, love, together, without any kind of separation. He makes them all singular words and not plural. That's an obvious one again. All singular. It's faith, hope, love. It's not faiths. It's not hopes. It's not loves. It's faith, hope, and love. There is for him and there is for us only one faith, one hope, and one love that truly matters, that makes all the difference. And this, for us, is the very obvious way that Paul links faith, hope, and love together. The very subtle way involves the verb to remain or to abide. You know, in many ways, the English language is lazy. I'll get into trouble with my old English teachers from school. Sometimes it causes us all sorts of difficulties. In many ways, the English language isn't very helpful. Very often it's absolutely impossible to tell whether a verb is singular or plural. You know, I could say, I remain, or I abide, or we could say, we remain, or we abide. In both cases, the remain or the abide remain exactly the same. No change in spelling, nothing to tell us whether it was singular or plural. And we have to rely on other words round about in the sentence. The subject of the verb, who's the verb speaking about, and they're the words that give us a clue. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13:13a, the words which the verb is referring to, what it is that the remains and the abide is all about, is very obviously faith, hope, love. Now, have you been sitting comfortably? Have you been following this English and Greek lesson? Have you been following me so far? If you have, a verb with not one but three words that are referring to it, what would you expect the verb remain or abide to be? singular or plural, with three words referring to it. The gut reaction, in order to satisfy every rule of writing, we would expect the verb remain or abide to be plural. But wait for it. Hold on to your seats. It's not plural. Guess what? It's singular. In the Greek, it's singular. I trust that you're suitably surprised and amazed. Did anyone fall off their seats in shock at that revelation? Perhaps we should be surprised and amazed. Paul breaks a rule of grammar in order to make a much more important spiritual rule of love. By making the verb singular, he is treating faith, hope, love as being one. As being one. Indivisible, inseparable. You can't have one without the other. They belong together forever. You know, like love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. I've always puzzled about that song. Who wants to be a horse and who wants to be a carriage? I have no idea. Love, faith, hope. Faith, hope, love. Hope, faith, love. Love, hope, faith. Put them in any order you want. They're one from Paul's perspective. And he wants his readers to be struck by that and shocked by that. Perhaps indivisible, inseparable. You can't have one without the other. They are the three vital signs of spiritual life for the whole church and for every single individual Christian on this planet and in heaven. Vital signs are an important part of life and a fundamental part of the process of diagnosis when we visit the doctor at the surgery or the hospital. Very often there's lots and lots of talks of symptoms, isn't there? Doctor, I think I'm invisible. Sorry, I can't see you right now. Doctor, I think I'm a snooker ball. Get to the end of the queue. Doctor, I think I'm a pair of curtains all together. Well, pull yourself together. Or my all-time favourite was always this one. Doctor, I think I'm Tom Jones. Well, that's not unusual. You know, we can have lots and lots of symptoms, but there are only a very few vital signs. Vital signs that make the difference quite literally between life and death. According to medical websites, the primary vital signs can be summarized as, in my words, blood pressure, beating heart, breathing. Three B's. Blood pressure, beating heart, breathing. Blood pressure, beating heart, breathing. In order to prove that we are alive, and I've not been asked to prove that recently for quite some time, but in order to prove we're alive, we need all three. If only one of them is missing, think about it. If only one of them is missing, for all intent and purposes, we're no longer alive. We're no longer alive. Faith, hope, love. These are our spiritual, primary, vital signs of Christian life for the whole body of Christ and for each individual member of it. Faith in Jesus, in his cross, in him dying to save us and to save us from our sins and break the chains that bind us and set us free. Hope in heaven, the heaven he has promised, his Father's house of many rooms where he prepares a place for us. A hope in heaven and not just in this life, but a hope for the new life to come. Hope in the resurrection, that one day we shall rise because he rose and we will rise to the glory of heaven above. Faith, hope, and then love. Love for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love one another as you love yourself. As Jesus said, love others as I have first loved you. Faith, hope, love. Three signs, vital signs of individual and corporate Christian life. And just like the physical signs, if one of these is missing, And Paul emphasizes here they cannot be separated. If one of these is missing, then for all intent and purposes, we're no longer living the true Christian spiritual life. We are, dare I say it, spiritually dead. Now, I've seen many, many medical dramas and soaps on the television through the years, and I'm sure you have as well. Who can forget Emergency Ward 10? You remember that? I was very young. I think it finished in about late 60s. It went off the screens. Dr. Finlay's casebook. Remember remember his secretary's housekeeper's name? Janet. Amazing. You know, that's not been in television since 1971, I checked. You remember Angels? Remember Angels Nurses? That was way back in the late 70s and early 80s. More recently, I've been going for a while, Doc Martin. Seen that one? Or one that my wife is addicted to, Call the Midwife. I get quite worried when she wants to watch a program called Call the Midwife, but we'll not go there. That's just to name but a few. And these are just British productions. You know, my wife and I once watched the American hospital drama House, that's got Hugh Laurie in it. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen that. House with Hugh Laurie. We watched all 176 episodes in less than 2 weeks. I'll leave you to do the maths on that one. It was a holiday. We were rather bored. But 176 episodes of a hospital drama in less than 2 weeks. We like a good medical drama and soap. And for me, one of the most dramatic and emotive moments in any medical drama is the monitor that monitors vital signs. As the sound of the beeping, beep, 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 gets slower and slower and slower, and then what does it do? It goes beep, it flatlines. Excuse me. What a powerful moment that is. But what makes it so powerful is what happens next. Then all the doctors and all the nurses get to work, and they do everything they can to revive and resuscitate their patient, the casualty. You know, what happens when the spiritual vital signs in our lives, in our church, slow, then heaven forbid, might even at times be flatline. What happens next? It's a very important question. What happens next? Do we simply check the watch, pronounce the time of death, and put a notification in the paper? Or do we spring into action and administer some spiritual first aid? Now, I got my first ever first aid qualification. Not I've had many since, but my first ever was my BB first aid badge. Anyone else get a BB first aid badge? One or two of us, I'm sure, many years ago. I got it when I was the grand old age of 14. So to save you the maths, that was 44 years ago. 44 years ago. You know, I can't remember virtually anything to do with the course and learning it and what was taught, but I can remember one thing. I can remember being taught the first aid A, B, C. Remember the first aid? A, B, C. A is for airways, B is for breathing, C is for circulation. All three so important when treating a casualty, somebody with first aid. A, airways, make sure the casualty has no obstructions to their mouth and throat. B, breathing. Make sure the casualty, once you've done that, is breathing. If not, what do you do? You start mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Thirdly, make sure the casualty has a heartbeat. If not, start doing chest compressions. Airways, breathing, circulation. Airways, breathing, circulation. As simple as A, B, C. Airways, in, breathing, out, circulation, all about. In, out, all about. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? In, out, all about. And it's exactly the same when it comes to the spiritual first aid that we can administer. You know, quite recently, I became reacquainted, as you probably guessed, with a very energetic form of exercise, and it's called the Hokey Cokey. What a wonderful energetic form of exercise that is. I've been doing the Hokey Cokey with my grandson on a number of occasions recently. I've been doing okay. I've been quite impressed. I've been learning all the ins and outs again. I've been doing okay. I've not forgotten what it's all about. You know, at one time many years ago, I used to be addicted to the Hokey Cokey, but then I turned myself around. Now, I think that we, on many occasions, need to do the spiritual Hokey Cokey, the in, the out, the all about, an ABC of spiritual first aid. Faith in, hope out, love all about. Simple as that. Faith in. Remove the obstacles from our lives. Help others to remove the obstacles to faith in their lives so they can see Jesus clearly. Christ upon the cross dying to save them. Remove the obstacles so they can take the faith in. Breathe hope into others' lives. Just like that mouth-to-mouth situation. Breathe hope, not despair, not negativity, but positive, positive hope. We have a hope in heaven. We have a hope beyond this life. We have something that you can't even put into words to describe, that even John in the whole of the book of Revelation struggled to find the words to say. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. We have a hope beyond anything we can imagine. And we have it to share. What a wonderful spiritual first aid practice that is. Faith, remove the obstructions. Focus on Jesus. Hope, breathe into other people's lives that hope in heaven. Share it. And finally, that love. Shake it all about. Share it all about. Unconditionally, unreserved, it's unlimited, the love that God has given us in Jesus. Ephesians tells us it's the same power and strength that God put in us to raise Jesus from the dead. There is no limit to the love of God. There is no limit to the love that God can share and can shed abroad through your life and through mine. Faith in, hope out, and love shared all about. Easy to remember, isn't it? Easy to remember, but perhaps much harder to do. Well, I wonder, maybe you're sitting today here in church today because you're a casualty. Maybe you're sitting in church today because you need to hear this, because God is calling you to be the spiritual first aider for the casualties among us and the casualties that are out there. Whichever it is, and perhaps it's even both. Perhaps it's even both. Today a first aider, tomorrow a casualty, or today a casualty, tomorrow a first aider. But I hope and I pray that God, through these wonderful qualities, these vital signs, the faith, the hope, and the love, that the obstacles will be removed by God's Spirit. And faith will be foremost in your heart. That you will have that hope from your heart to share with others, to breathe life into others who are spiritually dead. And that love, that agape, that wondrous love, that wonderful love, that life-giving love, that will make your heart strong, your spiritual heart, not to falter or fall or fail, but to show the heart of God to those around you, to those you know, to those with whom you live, to those whom you have not yet met, to the casualties that are strewn about our community and who need the faith, the hope, and the love of Jesus. May God make this so, that we might show his love to all. And we sing now a wonderful, wonderful song. It's one of my wife's all-time favourites, and sadly she's not here to hear it. I'll just have to go home and sing it to her, won't I? That's what I'll need to do. Such love, pure as the whitest snow. And I hope that's not a bit of prophecy considering the weather forecast that the BBC were announcing last night. Let's continue to worship God through the giving of our offering. The offering shall now be uplifted. Thank you.
Let us give our gifts to God. Gracious God, accept these gifts given with a glad heart. Bless them and use them and us in the service of your people here and throughout the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace in this sacred place, let your peace fall upon us, your light illumine us, and your blessing sanctify us. Inspire us anew with the courage of faith, the growth of hope, and the joy of love. Now let us pray together for the Church, local and universal, the world and its peoples, and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the man for others, pray for those others, the known and the unknown, united in need of his comfort and compassion. As we speak through mind and heart, let us listen for the still, small voice of thee, O God, and ask for the Holy Spirit to descend upon us and the whole church, blessing it and our Christian community here in Lark Hall with the gifts Jesus bestowed, that we might serve without limit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Especially do we ask renewal for those who lead us in worship and pastoral care, Alistair and Lorraine, elders, teachers, carers, and office bearers of organizations who give of themselves and sacrifice much of their personal life to maintain church fabric, public worship, and stewardship of the faithful. The demands of the flock good shepherd can be very hard on physical and spiritual reserves. The hours are regular and expectation often beyond reason. Help us to help them and not take them for granted. As they empty themselves for others, fill them again with the fruits of the Spirit and rekindle the vocational ardour which first put their hands on the plough of service. Help them and us to be like St. Paul in Caesarea, standing fast for what we believe and letting no one rob us of our crown. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of infinite pity, grant moral strength to the leaders of the secular and political world and their advisers. Give them wisdom and good judgment to take decisions affecting the lives of millions. May they be united by bonds of peace in America, Iran, Israel, and Palestine. Let goodwill triumph over evil and bring harmony to help refugees and victims of atrocities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nearer home, guide our footsteps to where there is need. We pray especially for those who bear the burden of duty and responsibility of looking after those who cannot look after themselves. Our petitions cry for the caring professions in hospitals and homes who tend those with mind and body destroying conditions such as Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, motor neuron, dementia, muscular dystrophy, stroke, cancer, and heart conditions. We pray for China's millions stricken and threatened by coronavirus and for relatives of the dead and injured in the Turkey earthquake. We pray for the teaching professions and parents who nurture young minds and try to bring them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are older, they will not depart from the lessons taught. We bring before you all in need of help, those struggling to combat the suffering of separation, divorce, depression, despair, infirmity, bereavement, loneliness, and financial anxiety. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This prayer, loving Father, will have brought to mind in all of us, family, friends, neighbours, and others in need of particular mention. We see them in our mind's eye and feel for them deep in our hearts. In a moment of reverent silence, We bring them before you for blessing. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, George. Thank you. How are my and your spiritual, vital signs? The faith, the hope, the love. May the Spirit who monitors our spiritual vital signs look upon us and see us far more as spiritual first aid givers than casualties. May the Spirit that monitors our faith, our hope, our love find in each of us a strong heart, strong and powerful, strong enough and powerful to change the world. May we be a blessing to the world, and may the Lord be blessed through all that we do. Let us conclude our time of worship by singing together. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Thank you.
And now we go now as God's people, full of life with hearts beating for Jesus, to share the faith, the hope, and the love that knows no end. And as we go to do so, may all the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, and all whom we love, this day and forevermore. Amen.